Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh my goodness me! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! That is absolutely superb!
Huge cheers go up around Emirates Stadium.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. It's Christmas Eve and I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, we speak to Thomas Radzinski after he announced his retirement from the game. We look at the letter X in the A to Z of Arsenal. Adrian Clarke previews a double game week at the chalkboard once more. We kick off by looking back at Friday night's clash against Liverpool with a couple of Arsenal insiders.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, we're here in the media room post-match after the Liverpool game, where I'm delighted to say that Arsenal commentator Tim Peters and former Gunners goalkeeper Graham Stack joined me. And guys, a really entertaining game, but Tim, just a frustrating one in the way that after all the hard work, Arsenal couldn't get the 3 points.
I found it the most bizarre game ever to commentate on, Russ, to be honest. I mean, me and Graham are still head-scratching, really. First half was pretty dire. First 10 minutes was OK, and then Liverpool just took full control. Arsenal kept giving the ball away. Liverpool should have been out of sight, but they weren't. And then all of a sudden, 3 goals in 5 minutes. You've got to say Liverpool helped them back in the game, but to be fair, Ozil's goal was brilliant. And then, sadly, the equaliser came, and then it's like, we'll take a point now. But, yeah, it was one of those games. I think at half-time, at 2-0 down, you'd have been delighted with a point, but it was a strange game.
It was. Let's just remind ourselves of that incredible barrage from the Gunners. 3 goals in just over 5 minutes in the second half to go from 2 down to 3-2 up.
Ozil drops his shoulder, knocks it forward, looks for Alexis Lacazette inside the penalty area. Ozil leaves it for Bayern, gets across into the far post. Alexis with a header! Arsenal got one back! Alexis Sanchez, 8 minutes after the restart, and it's 2-1. Liverpool's turn to switch off, and Arsenal are back in it. Here is Wilshere again. Now it's with Xhaka. Rolls it over to the right-hand side. Iwobi can't quite control first time, but keeps the ball in play on the right. Up against Robertson. Rolls it back to Xhaka. Xhaka, 25 yards out. Has a goal! Oh! 2-2! Granny Xhaka! Well, I'm not quite sure if Simo Mignolet saw that one or not, if it swerved in the air or he took a deflection, but we don't care because remarkably, unbelievably, we're all square. Here is Ozil, though, coming forward, looking for Lacazette. Back to Ozil, can he finish? Yes! Of course he can! Unbelievable, the Gunners go wild all in front of us. Lacazette with the assist, Mesut Ozil with a dink over Mignolet. Liverpool are completely shell-shocked here. It is Arsenal 3, Liverpool 2.
What a spell that was, Graham, and the place was rocking at that point. It was a real change, wasn't it, in the atmosphere, to put it mildly?
Yeah, turnaround in fortunes, performance, atmosphere, noise. It was just in the end, it was buzzing out there. And I just thought, here we go, we're in the ascendancy. You know, we look like we're back on it. We're making tackles, we're getting close to them. We're limiting them to very little chances. They look to have been, you know, gone in confidence. You know, they look to be lost. And then all of a sudden, you know, we let them back in the game, and they're back in the game at 3-0, and it's like, disappointed not to have held out and won the game, but also on the flip side of that is, obviously, you know, early on being two goals down and looking like we look like a team of lost players out there with no sort of, you know, no guidance, no sort of drive. We looked a little bit lacklustre and really unlike Arsenal, giving the ball away on countless occasions. But, I mean, in the end, I mean, we've done well to get back in the game. And as I say, we could have been outside. Cech's made a couple of fantastic saves to keep us in the game and in the end, you know, getting a valuable point.
What did you make of Peter for that third goal for Liverpool? He was unlucky in the sense he got a firm hand to it, but the ball obviously had still looped into the net.
Yeah, he'd be disappointed. There's no doubt in that. I mean, he's almost got too good a hand on it. You know, if he gets a slight touch on that, he can help it over the bar. I mean, in the end, he gets such a good hand on it. It takes all the pace out of the ball. and then it just obviously just drops in underneath the bar. So, I mean, he'll be disappointed with that. But, I mean, you know, leading up to the goal, I mean, he's made, you know, he's made a couple of excellent saves to have kept us in the game. So, I mean, they would be the positives. But, yeah, I'm sure, you know, when he looks back at that, he'll be a little bit disappointed.
Tim, what was your pick of the goals? I mean, Ozil's was brilliant. The power and purity of Xhaka's strike was superb.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's one of those bizarre moments when Xhaka scored, because we were looking at each other thinking, how's that gone in? I mean, as you say, the ball was hit at a tremendous velocity, but Mignolet's got to do better than that. Even though it was hit with tremendous power, it's got to be the last goal. That was a wonderful finish. Every time I look at it, it gets more exquisite every time I look at it. Lovely flick by Lacazette for the 1-2, and the finish was sublime by Ozil. But he's got that in the locker. We know he has. He's a brilliant player. And that was a fantastic moment in the game.
And when you're a keeper, when you're up against Ozil, he just delays it, sees you commit, and then just jinks it over you, but all in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, there's not many players out there that have probably got the ability to finish it the way he does. Almost waits for Mignolet to go down, commits himself, and just lifts the ball over the top of him. I mean, shows a real culture in that area. A lot of players would snatch at that and sort of panic and sort of just try and smash it as hard as they can. But a real composure in a position at two as well. I mean, to put us 3-2 up, to show that amount of calmness in front of the goal was just typical, really. It just sums those up.
Let's just hear a little bit from the boss and get his thoughts post-match. Here's what Arsene Wenger's just had to say in the media conference behind us.
To be completely honest, could have been game over at half-time as well, because we had a nightmare first half. We played too far from each other, not compact enough, not composed enough, and at half-time we could have been punished more. Mané just a chance just before half-time, and I must give credit to the players, because even at 2-0 we didn't give in any weakness, and we have shown again great spirit and come back. It's true that I'm frustrated after 3-2 that you couldn't keep the result, but overall, what can you say?
Arsene Wenger's take on the situation. Tim, who stood out for you? I felt Jack Wilshere again had a very powerful and a very industrious game.
I'll give two names. Jack Wilshere, obviously you have to say him. For me, he plays like a captain, and I'd love to see him wear that captain's armband as long as he can keep his fitness up. And it's looking good for him at the moment. He's getting a run of matches. He never stopped. His attitude was spot on from the start. A lot to like about Jack. But I've got to mention Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who I think is a really exciting prospect. Remember, he's actually not a left back. Arsene Wenger's gone to great lengths to saying that he's actually more of a central midfielder eventually.
And right-footed
as well. But he's a wonderful athlete. I keep going on about it. I bang on about it in commentaries. But his athleticism is fantastic. I'm really excited about him. He's a really good prospect.
I commentate for Arsenal on our under-23 games a fair amount of the time, and he's someone that struck me for the last 2 years, Graham. He's such an all-round player, and that ability to fill in different positions could be a hindrance, but hopefully for him, it is a positive.
Yeah, I mean, he's almost learning on the job, in fairness. He's not a left-back, we know that, but, I mean, the way he played today, I mean, I echo exactly the same two players in my mind were outstanding, and he the recovery runs, 92nd minute, you know, Emre Can's got to the byline, he's looking to put a telling ball across our 6-yard box, and he managed to make up ground and defend brilliantly. But he was outstanding today. He's got a big future. Who knows where he's going to end up playing, but certainly at the minute, as you know, while he's playing left back, he's kept he is the best player in this, you know, in the Premier League at the minute. So, I mean, there's no doubt in that. And he kept him relatively quiet today, especially in the first half. He was one of our main sparks in the first half that could have come out of that with any credit. And again, I think Jack was, I mean, a captain's performance, led by example, took responsibility, got the game by the scruff of the neck, made tackles, penetrated the runs and passes, and really, really opened them up in the second. I thought he was outstanding.
Bodes very well moving forward. To be fair, Liverpool's second goal that Salah got, there was a tiny deflection that took it past Cech. I know Liverpool were on top at that point and we couldn't begrudge it, but an element in fortune in a way with both of their first two goals were deflections, actually.
That's right, because the ball was deflected for Coutinho's header. But, I mean, as you said before, we can't really say too much. I mean, Liverpool were all over Arsenal for long spells before that. But it was more because Arsenal kept giving the ball away, inviting the pressure, and eventually it told, and Liverpool probably earned that bit of good fortune. But as we said, you know, 2-0 down, the game changed. Suddenly, it's amazing, isn't it? How many times, I mean, Graham must sit in dressing rooms when a side, I'm not saying Graham in particular, but just using Graham as an example because he's a professional footballer, but when the team scores a goal, they're the most vulnerable a minute after they score that goal. And that happened, didn't it, Graham?
It was exactly that. Just a massive swing of momentum, really. I mean, goals, listen, we know, goals change games, there's no doubt in that. But to get them in such quick succession, And, you know, in the nature that we did, you know, mistakes and eventually, you know, through great play. But you could just see the effect that had, not just only on the players, but on the staff. You know, Arsene Wenger's body language on the byline, Klopp's body language completely went the other way. The supporters and me and Tim, it completely changed the mood of the place. And you know, and in the end, I mean, it was rocking out there up until, obviously, they equalised, so...
Very exciting evening. Gentlemen, thank you for your fine work with it. Where do we stand on the big day? What's happening over Christmas in the Peter household?
Hopefully, we're all over this cough and bad throat.
I've had it too.
You've had it too. My daughter's had bronchitis for 2.5 weeks, which has not been any fun. But yeah, so hopefully a quiet one. Arsenal aren't playing until the 28th, which is amazing. I think it's the first time I haven't played on Boxing Day in years. So isn't it great? A prolonged Christmas period.
Enjoy, and thank you for your time. Graham, what are you up to over the next few days?
I'm playing on a busy festive period, Torquay and Woking. So, and obviously having four children myself, you can imagine our house is absolutely mayhem at the minute. But no, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
It's double both what we've got, so I can't even envisage having four. My God. Farewell with that, pal. Appreciate your time. And guys, great to catch up on the Arsenal Weekly podcast here at the Emirates post-match after the Liverpool 3-3 draw.
Thank you.
Thomas Radzicki announced his retirement on Wednesday, calling time on a fantastic 19-year career. Thomas made a very special call to the club and spoke to Arsenal media's Nick Brumsack just a couple of hours after the announcement to deliver a message to the Arsenal fans.
So you've taken the decision to retire. How do you feel?
Yeah, obviously it's a very difficult decision to make, because if you do something for such a long time and you love it, it's very difficult to leave it behind you. So it was very difficult, but on the other side as well, I feel it's the right decision. Obviously, my body tells me for a long time already that the body doesn't want to do it anymore, but always the mind was there to win and to keep playing and pushing me forward. But we have a winter break here basically now, the whole December, and so basically when I start to prepare for the spring, and I started to prepare myself for the new season, I just felt I don't want to do this anymore. So it's basically simple as that, and I felt it's the time to do it, and yeah, I have to deal with it now, because obviously it's not as easy as everyone maybe thinks.
Of course, and obviously you started your career at Sparta Prague and finished there as well. When you look back with a bit of distance, do you think you'll be pleased? Will it be a nice memory for you to have finished at the club you started at?
Yeah, it was. I think it's a great story that I finished in a club where basically I grew up. So it was the plan for me that... Basically, when I knew I was leaving Arsenal, so it was only one place for me to go. So my decision was that I will come back or I will retire already. So I didn't want it anything else. So in that time, it fit the bill, basically, I can say. And I think it's a lovely story for a very young guy from Prague, who spent after 16 years abroad and went back and finished the career where it started. So I think it's a nice story.
When you look back at those 16 years abroad, you spent the last 10 of them at Arsenal, 246 appearances, 28 goals, 2 FA Cups, and I imagine many memories that stick out.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I would, for one last time, I would like to take this opportunity as well to thank everyone at Arsenal Football Club. For me, it's a fantastic club. It was always an honor for me to play for Arsenal, and I had always a special bond, I would say, as well with the fans. That I think every time when I was playing, that they knew that I'm playing for the shirt. I always played for the shirt, because it was an honor for me to represent such a great club like Arsenal. And one thing is for sure, I'm gunner forever.
Absolutely. And part of the reason, I guess, that they loved you so much was because of your record against Tottenham. You really seem to love playing against them and scoring as well.
Yeah, you know, I always understood the meaning of the derby, because we have a big derby here in Czech Republic as well. It's Sparta and Slavia, and later on when I played for Dortmund, Schalke, that are both basically similar like Arsenal, Tottenham. So I always, from the very young age, I understood the meaning of the derby, and obviously it helped me as well that I was able to, I mean, with the fans, that I was able to score some lovely goals against Tottenham.
Yeah, 3 goals against Tottenham, all brilliant in their own right. Have you got a favourite at all?
I have to say I enjoyed very much all of them because they are all special goals as well, not only because it was the derby game and it meant so much for the fans, but as well because those goals were simply great goals, you know.
Absolutely. Of course, your decade here, we won the FA Cup in 2014. You'd been here 8 years at that point, and you played such an important role in that final as well, of course, in extra time. That must have been a really special moment for you.
Yeah, obviously, after such a great time, that's what I wanted, to win a trophy with Arsenal. So obviously, there is a regret that we didn't win a league the Premier League, basically. But after such a long time, it was a great moment. So for the fans as well, again, the connection between players and the fans that day were absolutely amazing. So again, I would repeat myself if I would say that I have enjoyed every minute to play for Arsenal, because it's an amazing club, and I always loved to play for Arsene Wenger and for his vision how the football should be played, so it was absolutely great.
The A to Z.
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
Arsenal.
Burkamp has found Pires. Pires towards Henry. And Arsenal found a goal!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
X is for Xhaka. Granit joined at the start of last season and has gained a bit of a reputation for spectacular long-range efforts.
Oh, that's absolutely sublime! Pick that one out! Granit Xhaka! Welcome to the Premier League! Welcome to Arsenal! That is wonderful from the Swiss international!
X is also for another midfield general and foil to us over the years in Xavi. The Barcelona star has played against us 4 times in his storied career, including scoring this goal in 2011.
Yes, the great run. Great chance here. 2-1. And we're back all square in the tie.
Mzitski gets beaten to start with, then Diaby gets beaten, Giroud falls to the ground, and Sanya can't quite get back.
And finally, X is for Xmas. It's another busy Christmas period for the team with four games in 12 days. And boy, have we had some memorable goals over the festive season.
Oh, Brady won it beautifully.
For the corner.
Bendtner! What an arrival for him. Arsenal lead again. A super substitution from Arsene Wenger. A first Premier League goal for Nicholas Bendtner. It's 2-1 to the Gunners.
Good interception by Perez, doing a good defensive work. And then Giroud with a lovely faint flick. Arsenal breaking at pace. Giroud in the middle, Perez joining him, in it goes towards Olivier Giroud! Oh my goodness me! What a fantastic goal by the Frenchman! Even he is surprised! What a finish! What a way to get 2017 underway! Arsenal 1, Crystal Palace 0!
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Well, for the final time in the year 2017, Adrian Clark joins me at the chalkboard. Clarky, how's it going?
Doesn't time fly, eh, when you're having fun?
Absolutely, my friend.
No, I've enjoyed it this year. It's been good.
It has indeed. It has. And what is the best thing about being a footballer at this festive time of year?
Well, it's a Christmas party, isn't it? Of course it is. I had some crackers here at Arsenal, I've got to say. Down the years, we used to... have our own ones within the dressing room, which you can never speak again. Always quite raucous affairs. But we used to have a club one as well, a posh London hotel. I remember having food fights with Ian Wright and Paul Merson and all that lot. They made the mistake one year of having these sort of pom-poms on the table that got dipped into red wine. And they became a weapon. And there was a lot of cross table red wine bombs going. It was carnage. This is in a really posh hotel in London. And I do remember, I'm sure one of the players, I can't remember who it was, had a white tuxedo on.
Oh.
which wasn't me, I hasten to add. But it got destroyed. But yeah, Christmas parties were always brilliant when you're a footballer. And also, playing over the Christmas period is a bit special. I used to love playing on Boxing Day. The crowds were always jam-packed and there was just something a bit special about it, especially actually when you go down lower leagues. It's like the crowd doubles. It's remarkable. So, no, I don't think footballers mind playing at the holiday period.
Clarkie, thank you for your thoughts on that as we build up to a couple of big games for the Arsenal coming up. Again, it's a key festive mini-glut, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. To... devilish away games, not easy at all. Teams that are just languishing towards the bottom end of the table, but teams that are desperate for points. And this is a precarious little fixture list ahead for the Gunners. Not easy to turn around within a few days of each other as well.
We'll start with Crystal Palace and what a job Roy Hodgson has done in recent weeks. A bit of a slow burner, but we kind of expected that, didn't we? That he instills doctrines and training that take a while to reap their reward, but then when they do, you then get a sustained improvement and a sustained uplift.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to describe it, actually. Yeah, it's a bit of a slow burner, but look, he's been a manager for this long for a reason. He's not a busted flush. He knows what he's doing. He can organise a team. He keeps things very simple, Roy Hodgson. There's nothing too complicated about his tactical awareness, but he gets it right. And what I was really impressed with was when he was without Christian Benteke, he put two wingers up top in Wilf Sahar and Andros Townsend. Not a lot of gaffers would have done that. And it worked. It got them out of their rut. Everybody was suddenly excited to watch Palace. The enthusiasm returned. And since then, the team has definitely gone on an upward curve. So, yeah, look, Palace, out of everyone in the bottom section, are playing the best football right now.
Yeah, it's a remarkable turnaround. West Brom, in contrast, though, they changed a manager, a former Eagle coming in Alan Pardew. For me, I'm not so sure that
is such a successful switch from Tony Pulis, but I don't know.
Well, it hasn't been yet. I think it's such a departure in terms of style that it's going to take a long time, because they're used to playing one brand of football, and Pardew likes a completely different style. So it will take a while for his messages to get through and just for the players to get out of certain habits. When you've been told to go long and high and work on set pieces, you know, all the time under one manager, when suddenly the next manager says, no, no, I don't want that. I want you to pass in triangles and move this way and that way and to play with this attacking fluidity, then it can't change overnight. What I will say about Pardew, the problem he's got is that the squad he inherited is built for one brand of football that he doesn't really want to play. A lot of big guys, not a lot of attacking flair. So he's up against it. He needs to bring in the kind of players he needs in January.
How much do we think Arsenal will rotate between these games? We've seen, obviously, two different squads almost come up during the cup competitions, but this is the time that it can combine in the Premier League.
They'll rotate, I think, yeah, four or five changes. But he can rotate this year, Arsene Wenger, because all the players are match fit and match ready because of the Europa League. Not a problem. I'm quite happy. And do you know what? I don't think there's a huge difference in quality between those in the team at the moment and those that are on the bench.
Is it almost a problem because it's not massively obvious how to improve?
No, it's a problem because no one is stepping up to the plate and being absolutely outstanding. We're seeing a lot of 6 and 7 out of 10 performances, not enough 8s and 9s. So for that reason, I don't think anyone can be certain of their place. But I'm hoping in these two fixtures that Arsenal can make statement performances, because away from home, it's been flat. It's been a bit lethargic. We want to see two handsome victories here, but that might not happen. These are two grounds that Arsenal have struggled at in recent times, particularly the Hawthorns on New Year's Eve. Arsenal have slipped up there in recent times. So they've got to be on it.
We will allow you this time to do a 10-second team talk. We'll let you. I'm gonna.
Well, I don't know if I've got 10 seconds. Do you know what?
It's a combined all 6 points, please.
I can't really think of anything other than fight. What I want to see from Arsenal in these two games is passion and fight. If the players show passion and fight, their quality will shine through. But they have to, because if you don't show passion and fight, we won't pick up 6 points, and we need 6 points.
Nice bit of finger pointing there for our listeners from managerial Adrian Clarke as well. Clarkey, excellent work. Time to take festive stock on our ongoing competition.
Brain of Arsenal.
Brain of Arsenal between you and I is taking a brief pause over the festive period while we tuck into our turkey. Absolutely. But I'm pleased to say that the Arsenal Weekly podcast editor, Liam Roberts, still joins us. Liam, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, guys. Merry Christmas. Yeah,
yes.
Christmas Eve.
Absolutely.
Christmas Eve. So it's going to be a Merry Christmas for one of you, not so much for the other one, maybe for me as well. But, I've got some stats. So half season of Brain of Arsenal, we've had 19 rounds already.
Wow.
As it stands, Adrian has won 7 rounds. Russ has run 6, and there's been 6 draws.
So at the moment, it's closer than I thought, actually.
So 27 points for Adrian based on that, 24 for Russ, but also we're going to have in bonus points for how many questions have been answered, how many changes. Adrian, you've changed 7 times your subject, Russ 8, so that's bonus points for Adrian. I'm not going to tell you how many yet. And questions, so we've asked a hell of a lot of questions so far. Adrian, 49 right. Russ, 47. It's close.
You
pulled it back last week. Last week's win has been big for you. So, pulled it back. So that's how we stand. Going into the new year, Adrian, you lost the last round. So what would you like your new subject for when we come back?
The assistant manager is somebody that a lot of the modern fans, the younger generation, don't know a lot about. We don't see him talk in the media that much, but I remember him as a really good lad. He was one of the lads. So let's talk Steve Bold.
OK, so when we come back, it'll be Steve Bold against Matthew Flamini.
Wow, what a head-to-head that is.
Yeah, and now I've been dreading this moment, but, I'm about to hand over question duties to you guys.
Well, this was Liam's very own idea, Clarkie, wasn't it, that he wants us to question him.
It's a Christmas present for you.
Thank you.
I believe that he believes he's the true brain of Arsenal. This is the reason behind it.
Well, I asked you guys to come up with some questions and you forgot to, and you've got the wrong questions, so,
We've since redressed that issue, and it is the Premier League Life and Times of Arsenal's number one and, of course, former Chelsea and Czech Republic number one, Peter check.
Yes, yes.
Is it hot in here? Feels a bit hot in here. I'm,
not at all on this.
What's your target, Liam, just before we kick off? What's a respectable...
I've won 3 out of 4, mate. It depends if you've gone week one questions, week two, or week three.
I think I've gone week two.
What did I do in the rehearsal? You asked me 2 questions.
You got 1 out of 2.
Exactly. So if... Yeah. Maybe 50%.
Right, shall I go first, Russ?
Go for it.
Yeah, right. Question number one. Petr Cech was named Chelsea Player of the Year for the first time in which year?
I'm going to say that will be 9-10.
Oh, so close. So close. 10-11, much late, quite late on in his Chelsea career, but in May 2011 he picked up the Player of the Year goal.
It's a bad start.
Shall I do one next?
Yeah, go for it.
Petr Cech broke the record for the fewest Premier League appearances to get 100 clean sheets.
Yep.
How many appearances was it?
No, it was 180.
Very good.
Okay, I feel better now. I feel
a brainy
better.
Answer,
now.
Yeah,
I feel better now.
Right. This is tough. This is probably a week three question, but okay. I think you might, the Arsenal fans might enjoy this because we all know Petr Cech does not save penalties. It just doesn't happen, does it?
Right.
He has saved penalties in the Premier League, but it was a while ago the last time he actually saved one. Yeah. All I want is the year. That's all I want. I'm not telling you. I don't need the name of the player, the team it was against.
Okay.
Cast your mind back. When do you think the last time Petr Cech saved, not was in goal for a missed penalty, but saved a penalty?
I remember FA Cup missed penalties. I remember he saved one in the FA Cup final. He's obviously saved one in Champions League final. I'm going to say...
He's squirming, isn't he?
I am. That's
the worm
a good
has
question.
Turned in a pleasant manner.
I'm going to say it
TikTok.
Was... Do you want a year or a season?
I've got the exact date,
okay.
So you can... I don't mind.
I'm
going to
say... 2009.
Oh, it's not a great record, is it? It's actually slightly better than that. It was February 2011.
Okay.
Clint Dempsey, he saved a penalty from Clint Dempsey in the West London Derby against Fulham. He's since had two that were missed. Jonathan Walters in 2013 and Wayne Rooney famously slipped over and skied it over against him. But, it's a
long time. And he's faced a lot of penalties since he's been here.
Almost 7 years since he saved a pen in the Premier League. We love Petr Cech, but penalties not his strong point.
Great question.
Let's finish with arguably the most successful season for Cech and Chelsea, the newly arrived Jose Mourinho 2004-05.
Yeah.
Chelsea... 15 goals conceded, 25 clean sheets, remarkable stats. There was a Premier League record of minutes without conceding a goal.
Yep.
How many minutes was it?
Yep.
And who then surpassed it 4 years later?
Okay, I remember it was 1,025 minutes. And then Van der Sar.
Oh, look at
and
that.
I'll give you an extra bit. Leon McKenzie was the goal scorer.
He's showboating.
Okay,
2 out of 4.
I'll take that.
That is week 2/3 standard questions as well.
It's not bad.
I'll take that. Thank you, guys.
Enjoy your festive merriment in the...
You too, guys. Merry Christmas.
You've earned your turkey now, mate.
Don't have a day off.
The Roberts household and indeed in the Clark household as well. It's a great Christmas with you and the family.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Lots of young mouths to feed.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, Merry Christmas to all the listeners.
Fantastic, everybody. We look forward to being back with you in the approach to the new year. The final word this week is from all of us here at the Arsenal Weekly Podcast as we wish you a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Hi everyone, this is your captain here.
Hi everyone.
Hello guys, it's me Mesut.
Hello everyone, wishing you and all your families a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year.
On behalf of the manager, the coaches and all the players.
Merry Christmas everyone.
Merry Christmas everyone.
Wishing you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Take it easy.
Up the Gunners.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Thomas Rudzinski, to Graham Stack, Tim Peters and Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing in the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and find us on Acast these days. Remembering to get your questions into Clarkie for the chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. We're back on Tuesday the 2nd of January to look ahead to the huge London Derby showdown with Chelsea.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.